pay attention today. And if in the midst of paying attention, there's something that you want to hear or look up or see, I'll email you everything if you'll email me. I actually want you to fast this morning from your device. And I can't make you do it. But I can beg you. And so I'm just asking you this morning, if you would, just to shut it down. I know it's your Bible. I hear some of your excuses already. It's where I look for Scripture, and I know that. But we've got this cool thing called technology, and we'll put things on the screen for you to see, and I'll even read it to you. And you don't have to do anything but listen. I actually believe that God is here. As a matter of fact, I must have been in a hole. I've never heard that song this morning that we had together. I've never heard that one before. But what an amazing worship song. And I just want to ask you if you really believe it. Because I almost wish now that I could just press play anywhere I am in my life. And that song would come up. You are here moving in our midst. Do you believe that? Anybody else believe that? That's awesome. You are here rearranging destinies. Do you believe that? I do. You are here turning lives around, even ours. Do you believe that? You are here working miracles. Do you believe that? Emily, thanks for bringing that song to us today. It's inspired me. Wait, it goes on. You are here touching every heart. Do you believe that? Healing every life, turning lives around, mending every heart. Do you believe that? I'll put my phone away. Hold on to that for me. Don't leave without my phone. Okay. Say this with me. Today might be the day that I hear from God something that might change me, something that might alter my course, something that might transform my ministry. But it might not be my day. Say that. It might be his or hers. Do that to the person beside you. Yeah. So I'll listen and wait just in case. I heard you promise that. I believe that the God that we worship and the God that is all those things that we sang about this morning is powerful enough, even in 2019, to create a divine intersection between your life today. I don't know you, all of you. I see some familiar faces. But to create a divine intersection with your life and with what is happening in your life or your ministry or what is happening in a relationship of yours, I believe God actually shows up divinely in this moment through whatever it is that you experience today. Maybe something that I say, or maybe something that we've sung, or maybe just a quiet moment that we'll experience together in just a bit. Maybe it'll be through a workshop or seminar, but I believe that God is still up to working the miracles of divine intersection and speaks to us today if we'll listen. And I know I'm one of the oldest guys here, and I don't mean to feel like a parent to all of you, but I want you to know this. Listen. God is speaking. Not me. God is speaking. You may not hear a single word that I say to you today. And God can still speak to you. You know that. And I want to invite you into that. Would you fast for me this morning? Not just from your devices. And listen, nobody's watching if you pick it up. But fast from those things that distract you. Fast. I believe in the spiritual power of evil. And I believe that the spiritual power of evil is all around us, attempting to move our eyes away from God and block us from hearing what God is trying to say. And so that's the space I want to be in with you today. I am so grateful for Tyndale. I am so grateful for practical youth ministry training. And I want you to know that I believe that what is designed for you today, there are incredible people, some of them in this room this morning, leaders who have served for decades, who've brought together content for you today that will transform how you minister to the people that God has placed in your path. And so I want to invite you into listening to that. And you may go to a session and it will feel empty to you. That's okay. Go on to the next one and wait for God to speak to you. Will you? I hope you will. I don't know what I'd do if you said no, I won't listen. But I do want to invite you in that. I believe that God is here, and I believe that God has something to say. And I believe that if we'll listen, that the lives that we've been given to lead might be transformed because of our obedience. I really do. I have a copy of my talk. You can have it if you want to come up and get it afterwards. You don't have to tell anyone that it's mine if you use it tomorrow. I've borrowed some of the stuff that I'll share with you today, and so you borrow this if you'd like. Don't fight over it. There's printers in the building. This morning I want to begin with Psalm 5. Don't turn there. Don't write it down. I told you I'll send you everything. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto you will I pray. My voice, King James, shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up. Let's pray. God, thank you for this space that you've given us to be in this morning, this space that reminds us of what we've known churches to look like and be. And we know that you are here with us, O Lord. Listening carefully, we can hear the movement of your spirit, almost like the whisper of sandal feet moving from pew to pew, from heart to heart. And so, God, I ask that you would transform us today before we leave. And, oh, God, might we be a people who is paying attention, who hears what it is that you're saying to us always. And when we hear it, we listen and obey. Motivate us to go back into the worlds in which we live and create change, O God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said together, amen. I was so grateful when Rebecca called and asked me to speak on burnout. I was so thankful that she called and asked me to speak practically to you who are early in youth ministry. How many of you have only served in youth ministry between 1 and 3 years as a leader? Raise your hand. Higher. That's amazing. Praise God, the church has a future. How many of you have been in youth ministry more than 5 years? Raise your hand. And what I mean by that is paid or volunteer, serving in some way where you have leadership over teenagers or young people in your church. So over 5 years. Amazing. Keep your hands up if it's over 10 years. Even more amazing. Over 20 years? Yeah, I can't believe it. Over 30 years? I'll put mine down here. Praise God. Who is that? Raise your hand. What's your name? Pete? Dave. Oh, amazing. Thank you so much, Dave. Oh, that's amazing. Well, here's the thing. Our goal is to get... I see you, Ray. Ray, are you over 30 years old? Yeah, over 30 years old. Over 30 years in ministry to youth. Yeah, Ray's a friend of mine, and Ray is... Ray, can I tell him how old you are? Is that okay? Nobody's going to believe it. Ray's been doing this for a long time. I'll just say that. And so, here's what I believe about all of you this morning. Look this way. You ready? I believe that you are called by God to do what you do. I believe that you are uniquely gifted to make disciples. I believe that you are uniquely gifted to make disciples. I believe that you are right where God needs you to be for now. I believe there is more you can do to make disciples when you get back to it tonight or tomorrow. I believe that there is more for us to do. And if the last is true, that there is more for us to do, then avoiding burnout should be your number one priority. I don't mean it. It's just my talk today. I'm inviting you in today for some practical steps to avoid what people have shared with us is real burnout. And I want to invite you into this knowing that a premise that I have that I would never say out loud, but that I sincerely believe, is that the concept of burnout is a lie. Nobody left. Let me tell you why I think that. I want you to know that there has been studies now in the United Kingdom about the people that are most susceptible to burnout. Police, paramedics, nurses, doctors, lawyers, teachers, care workers, prison officers, and retail staff. Can you believe that? Retail staff. It's going to be Christmas soon, and I bet they'll all feel that way for those of you who have worked in retail before. I want to know if you and I are missing something on this list. I do not see youth workers. Therefore, there's no burnout in youth ministry, right? Wrong. Carrie Newhoff from here in Ontario writes this: more than most environments, ministry combines what you do, your work, with what you believe, your faith, and your community, your congregation and friends. Without skillful navigation, that mixture can create a roller coaster of emotions that pushes leaders toward burnout. I'll send this to you. I want you to know that I believe this is true. That's why we're talking about it today in the context of ministry. Newhoff goes on to say that you might be burning out if you begin to feel these particular feelings or emotions. Your motivation has faded. Your main emotion is numbness. You no longer can feel the highs and lows, Newhoff says. People drain you. Isn't that interesting? My dad used to always come home from work and he would say, if it weren't for the fact that I have to work with people, my job would be amazing. People drain you, and guess who you're called to serve? People. Nuts, isn't it? Little things make you disproportionately angry. I saw somebody elbow the other person sitting beside them. This is about you, not them. You listen to yourself, all right? Here's another, a few other things. You're becoming cynical. Your productivity is dropping. You're self-medicating. You fill in the blanks for what that means for you. Sleep and time off no longer refuel you. Now, just for a moment, I'll flip back just so that you can see the other list. You're beginning to identify potentially with some of these, and I believe that even some of you who have just been in ministry now for a few years are already beginning to feel some of these things, right? You're beginning to feel some of these emotions. Your motivation has faded. The question of why is becoming harder for you to answer, why you're involved in youth ministry at all. The next one, you're becoming cynical. Your productivity is dropping. You're self-medicating. You don't laugh anymore. Oh, sleep and time off no longer refuel you. Listen, Carrie has got a whole blog written on how I recovered from burnout, 12 keys to getting back. I want you to know that if you find yourself in that place, I'll send this to you. If you find yourself in this place where you're already experiencing burnout, and many times you feel like you're walking with no legs under you, I want you to go and read this. It's important. Carrie develops it more than I can in the hour that we're together this morning. But what I want you to know is that there is wise counsel from someone who has experienced burnout significantly. And so I'm going to invite you there to spend some time on that if that is where you find yourself this morning. I want to give you a speed round just because I know that some of you will just want to stop listening after a period of time. And that's okay. Remember, I said you don't have to. There are empty pews at the back. If you're tired, go lay down. I mean it. It's better than you forcing yourself to pick something out of this that God isn't really trying to communicate to you. If you need sleep, there's all kinds of room in this place. I mean that. I'm not kidding. Nobody. Okay. I'll keep going. Here's the speed round. They're all P words. You ready? Here goes. Speed round for avoiding burnout. Pace, practice, perseverance, pitch. That really means delegate. I'll talk about that later. Point, play, accountability. Sorry, I couldn't find a P word that means accountability, but accountability. Plan, prayer, pause, and pursue. I'll read them backwards. Pursue. Some of you got that. Pause, prayer, plan, accountability. Sorry. Play, point, delegate, perseverance, practice, and pace. Take a good look at that. I served in youth ministry for a long time down in North Carolina. And we started with 3 kids and we ended with way too many kids. It's not important. And I remember that we would take youth leader trips to Pittsburgh or to California for a youth workers conference. And we would go and we would divide and conquer. We'd multiply ourselves and we would show up at these conferences with about 25 workshop folks, 25 youth leaders. And then we would try to attend as many of the workshops that were possible. And everyone was required to take copious notes so that we could get back in the car on the drive back 7 hours back to Charlotte. And that we could reteach each other all the workshops that the others couldn't go to. So my hope is that you go home today talking about burnout in a bit. And if you'll ask me, seriously, I'll email this to you. And I want you to spend some time talking about these things. You all are wise people. And you can take these and create a whole lesson out of this when it comes to avoiding burnout. But use these words to motivate conversation about what it is that you can do. I've extracted a few very practical ways this morning that we're going to talk about. But when I began to ask my friends and colleagues in youth ministry, Alvin Lau or Matt Wilkinson, some of you know these folks, they began to sort of reveal some of these words or ideas that helped them and have helped others based on their interaction with people to avoid burnout. So there's your speed round. If you stop listening now, you've got a gold mine of items to talk about. That's the speed round. Here's the other thing that I want you to know. This morning, I don't want you to be an indignant ostrich with your head in the sand. In 10 years, for those of you who are just in this 3 years, if we have a conversation again at Little Skyport Cafe, where Mike and I met for lunch a few weeks ago, if you and I have a conversation at Skyport Cafe out by the airport, and you come to me in 3 years and say, I'm burnt out, my first question to you was, were you listening to what I said at that conference on that Saturday morning at Tyndale? I really believe that if you'll pay attention. How many of you have children? Oh, man. I'm old now. My kids are 29, 28, and 26, I think. Or maybe something else. I forget. 28, 27, 25. And I love my kids, and I had the best time being a parent all the way through. But kids will make you crazy. I started out wanting to be a wonderful parent, Ray. I wanted to use this volume with them all the time. I wanted to just say, morning, kids, breakfast is ready. I see that you've gotten up all on your own. It's great that you're here this morning. But I found myself from time to time speaking differently to them. It was like, hey, get up, guys. It's time to come on. And then I would even find myself, forgive me for doing this to you, but I would even find myself saying, listen to me. It makes you crazy. It's crazy making when people aren't listening to you. And I won't do it again, but I want you to know that that last one that I did is how I feel about you this morning. Listen to me. As a matter of fact, I brought a whistle. We might want to mute this guy. All right. I love this thing. This is a Fox 40 built in Canada. These are the whistles of referees. Watch. Somebody's not paying attention. Watch. I have stopped hundreds of people at Young and Bloor. Like this. And I'm not a cop. I take it with me everywhere I go. I roll the window down at crowds and I blow this. And you know what happens every time? It hurts my ears too. People stop and listen. So this morning, I'm watching. If you stop listening, I'm getting this old girl out, and I'm going to blow on her. No, I won't do it. All right. These are critical steps for us to consider moving forward as it relates to avoiding burnout. The first one, these are all of them in case you stop listening. Pursue a relationship with God. Know your role and stick to it. Rest. Seek wise counsel always. I'll send this to you if you'll email me. Here's the first one. Pursue a relationship with God over and over and over again. I've been in youth ministry circles long enough to be able to honestly share with you nearly a dozen stories of spending time with youth leaders who, after they've been in youth ministry for 3 to 5 years, finally come to know Christ. I'm talking paid roles. People who have been on a journey to become something without having the content of the soul that is required to lead. We have led youth leaders to Jesus Christ. Youth leaders who were responsible for students. Youth leaders who were responsible for teaching God's word. We have seen youth leaders and pastors come to faith in Christ after they had accepted the call. It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But your job as a youth leader, first and foremost, in order to avoid burnout, is to pursue a passionate relationship with Jesus. If you're not there, stop doing what you're doing. Pull out your phone. Write your resignation letter now. Because why in the world would you stay in this if you had not linked yourself with a heavy chain to the God that you claim to serve, and for the God you claim to follow, and for the God that you expect everybody that you lead to follow? Pursue a passionate relationship with God. Lynn Sweet and Frank Viola say in their book, God's main goal is to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want to command you like a robot. He wants you to know him so well that you already know how he thinks and feels. In fact, he wants you to anticipate what he desires. I'll send it to you. I want you to remember a couple things this morning. We are the Lord's friends, John 15 says. We are his fellow workers, 1 Corinthians 3. We are members of his own body, 1 Corinthians 12. We are part of his beloved bride, 2 Corinthians 11 and Ephesians 5. Do you believe that about Scripture? Say this with me. I believe the Bible. Maybe with a little more enthusiasm again. I believe the Bible. It is the Word of God. And every Word of God is relevant in my life. And where what the Bible says is different in my life, I will change through the power of God's Holy Spirit. I promise. These verses connected to these words that describe who we are in the sight of God are important for you to discover. I'll send them to you. Pay attention to what these words are saying to you now. In this moment, the Spirit is saying something to you, I believe. And if you'll listen, God will provide a way forward for us. Here's the second critical step to avoiding burnout. I'll send it to you. Know your role and stick to it. Just above the light switch in every office that I've occupied in Canada over the last 13 years, I've written in pencil these three letters. K-Y-R, know your role. It is important for you to know that if you are not the key leader, don't try to be. Know your role. If you don't know your role, that's a conversation on the way home tonight to say, what is it that you're inviting me to do in this ministry? If the person who can't answer that question for you isn't here, find them soon and say, what is the role that you are expecting me to play in this ministry? It's important for me to know because I want to stay in my lane. I want to do what it is that you've called me to do. I want you to stop second-guessing leadership. Do what they've asked or told you to do. If you've subjected yourself to their authority in some way, maybe it's shared, Maybe it's relational, but there is an authority and a hierarchy in the ministry in which you serve. So honor that and do what it is that you've agreed to do. And if you need to get it written down to remind yourself and them when they begin to pile more things on you, do it. Know your role. Stop second-guessing the leadership that you follow. Let me hit you with the two other quick ones that I'm afraid to say, but I need to say it. Stop doing too many things that you've not been asked to do and focus on that, what it is that you've agreed to. Would you? I believe that if ever it multiplied in this room, with this room this full, if all of us were to actually sort of get back into what it is that we were called to do and stop trying to be the worship leader or stop trying to be the pastor or stop trying to be the administrator or the teacher, if that's not what we've been called to do and that we get busy doing what it is that we've been called to do, the world will change. I loved what Dr. Beth said this morning. When I get to heaven, I'm going to speak with an English accent like that. Good morning, class. No. Now it's just this, sorry. But I love what she said this morning when she said that we are resourcing the church for the world. That we're resourcing the church for the world in what we're doing. And you are. The church are the people that God has sort of placed in your path to lead. And your job is to resource them for the world, their world, school, jobs, family dynamics, or Bolivia. I don't know, but you're resourcing the church for the world. Know your role and stick to it. Pursue a passionate relationship with God. This is going to help you avoid burnout. Here's the next one. We'll rest on this one for a bit. How many of you went to bed before midnight last night? Be honest. And after midnight, raise your hands. That's okay. I know some of you thrive in the middle of the night. I don't know how you do that. I don't think God is pleased. No. I don't mean it, sort of. Did you know that you were designed for rest? Every part of you has been designed to rest more than you work. Did you know that? How many of you, are any of you in this room this morning a physician, a doctor? Raise your hand if you're in medical school or if you're a doctor. Okay, so are you a cardiac doctor? Okay, a massage therapist. Hey, nice to see you. I'm glad there are no cardiac physicians here today because then they can't contest what I'm telling you to be true. Your heart was designed to rest more than it works. Did you know that? I don't know the science. All I know is that I have a creator who's given us a heart that is teaching us a lesson every time it beats. What I understand are that if you get your blood pressure taken, there are two readings that come out. The first one is systolic and the second one is diastolic. I think I understand systolic to be the one that is resting and diastolic is to be the one that is working. And here's what I've learned about the heart, that your heart is designed to beat in a way that it works for 3/10 of the time and rests for 5/10 of the time. Sorry, I'm not a math person, but 5/10 is more than 3/10, right? So you're designed to rest more than you work. So take it from the heart. If you're not spending time resting, then something significant will malfunction in your life and in your ministry. Believe me, we know this to be true because of the people that we talk to. When we're fatigued, we lose sight to our purpose. I'll send this to you. When we're fatigued, we lose sight to our purpose. And I believe that your purpose, regardless of what the bulletin on the front of your bulletin says about what the purpose of your church is, I believe that our purpose is to make disciples out of teenagers. And if you're not a disciple, then you best rest and become a disciple before you can make any. So I feel like I'm yelling at you. I don't mean it. Listen to me. No. Here's what we've learned. That when you're tired, you're vulnerable. When you're tired, you're more open to temptation. When you're tired, you waste more time. I've been saying to youth pastors lately, how many of you are paid people? Raise your hand. All right. All the rest of you don't listen for a minute. The youth pastors, listen to me for a second. I like you, but stop lying about being too busy. This is one of the most flexible gigs in the world. If you're part-time, it's a little different. If you're full-time, stop lying to me and your church and your family about being too busy. This is about time management. We'll talk about it in a minute. Stop lying about being too busy. Have I said that enough? I'm sorry. When you are tired, you waste more time. Get rest. When you're tired, you develop bad habits. Put down your devices and fast from them. You design the time. Don't let anybody tell you when to do it. But know that when you're doing it, that you're refreshing your soul. You're resting. Stop streaming. Fast from technology. Here's the last thing that damages the church. When you're tired and vulnerable and you're wasting more time and you're developing bad habits, do you know what you do? You begin to blame others for your failures and not take responsibility yourselves. And it's not their fault. You're exhausted. So rest. I get the chance, working with Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec, to spend time with church boards. And I love spending time with church boards when there's transition happening. And we can go in and we can say to a church, design in the package that you're offering this person, this can apply in volunteer roles, a season of rest. You can call it a sabbatical. You can call it a stress leave. But design a season of rest. I say to pastors who are moving into church roles, or youth pastors, or youth leaders, in this conversation, negotiate a time for rest. You have the power to do that before you take a job. After it, after you say yes, it's over. Nobody's talking about those things anymore because you've got work to do. But if it is expected and negotiated in, if you're a volunteer, raise your hand. When you say yes to serving in the church, I don't know how it happened at your place. Sometimes it's just because you're there and somebody drags you into a room with 90 middle schoolers, right? However it is that you have agreed to do what you do, I want you to revisit that moment with the person who has invited you into that and say, what is the term of service for me? It sounds technical. I don't mean it to sound like law, but I want you to say, how long do you want me to do this? And they're going to say, for the next 30 minutes. And no, that's not what I mean. How long do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do this for the year or for 2 years or 3 years or 5 years? And I want you to ask them, when is it appropriate for me to take a pause from doing this if I begin to feel myself being fatigued? Can you imagine what that would be like? And especially if you're a leader, if you're the key leader, you looked back at these people and you said, listen, you tell me when that time needs to come. And if we need to identify it now, in 3 months, you take a month off. In 6 months, you take a month off. In a year, you take a year off. But design rest into your life, or else it'll sneak up on you. And all of a sudden, this word that I told you was a lie will begin to reveal itself to be true in your life, and you will be burnt out. Rest doesn't always have to look like this. Rest can sometimes look like this. Let me explain. I say to leaders all the time now, find something to do in your life that doesn't require your leadership, that you only have to follow. But what it does require is joy and energy and time. Find a way to do that outside of the responsibilities that you represent this morning. And I promise you there'll be a transformation in your life about what it means to rest by being active. I just got back in March from a 6-month sabbatical. I feel quite blessed that that happened. And I chose on my sabbatical, I had 6 months. I chose with my wife to hike 300 miles on the Appalachian Trail down in the U.S. I spent 40 days in Newfoundland in the winter. Oh, man, it was heaven. It was quiet. I went there for silence and solitude. It happened, right? Nobody does anything in Newfoundland in the winter. Oh, it was beautiful. I came back and I did some schooling down at Columbia University in New York. And then for my sabbatical, for rest, I became a laborer for a 29-year-old man in Mistissini, Quebec, on a First Nations reserve there called Mistissini. And in Mistissini, I worked for this guy. He was about 6'8", and he was the strongest human I've ever met before. And I was a laborer. I had been introduced to him as someone from Toronto who needed some work. And so I didn't tell them what my day job was, but I went because I wanted to get some muscles back in my life. And I wanted to know what it was like to work for the people that I had been called to serve. And so I got up at 6:30 in the morning, and it was minus 30 every day that we worked in northern Quebec on the Mistissini Cree Nation Reserve there. And we would get on snowmobiles and we would drive across a frozen lake to an island where we would cut down wood all day long. And then we would come back to the camp and we would split this wood and we would put it in a truck. And then we would take it by 9 o'clock each night that I was there. About 20 days I did this. And he still just thinks I'm some guy in Toronto that lost my job and needed some work. And we would come back and we would deliver about 5 cord of wood. You can Google that later. I won't send that to you. We would deliver about 5 cord of wood to all the band council elders in the community. And my friends and my family said, you chose to do that in a design time of work. And I tell you, there was nothing more refreshing in my whole sabbatical than those days of working till I was so dog tired. And rest meant something new because I couldn't stop it. I had to rest after those days. And I want you to find a place, friends, where rest feels so refreshing that you can't wait to get back to the work that God has called you to today. Oh, here's where we go from here. The last one is this. Pursue a relationship with God, know your role and stick to it, rest, and seek wise counsel always. I want to encourage you. It's hard when Rebecca asked me. I've got probably about 4 more workshops that talk about system of accountability. But I want to encourage you to develop a system of accountability in your life, a place where people are providing for you positive and negative feedback. I've found it so helpful to identify people in the rooms where I go to serve and say to them, listen, I want you to listen critically today. I'll give you the content later. I just want you to listen and see if the spirit through which I deliver the words that I'm giving you or the content that we have could be refined in a way that would be more impactful. I want you to share that with me after this is over. And man, I've been able to refine some of my thought over the years because I've invited people into my life to be critical, not always negative, but to be critical of the work that we're doing. And so it's up to you to develop a system of feedback where you invite someone to say to them, listen, I want you to observe my leadership. I want you to observe my actions. It can be a teenager. Can you imagine if your pastor or leader said to you, hey, listen, I'm going to do a Bible study tonight. And rather than listening, would you just critique the way I do this? Do you know what that would be like if you were a teenager and someone gave you that authority over their leadership? Try it and see what happens in your life. And here's the other thing. I really do believe that one of the chronic issues, it's a plague, a blight on our culture, is wasting time. And I want you to enlist. If that is in the, I know that in a room like this, there are some of you who are brilliant at time management, and I just want to know you. But if you are not brilliant at time management, there are YouTube videos or people in your church who do this as their job in their corporate job. So find someone who can assist you with time management. Will you? I think it's important. And I believe that if you do that, you'll be able to schedule your lives in such a way that burnout won't come. I'm wrapping up here. Seek wise counsel always. Rest. Know your role and stick to it. And pursue a passionate relationship with God. You know, today I want to invite you into thinking, what are the next steps for you? I don't want to predict what might happen in your life because I don't know you. But there are some of the things that have been discovered this morning as we've been together that has revealed maybe sort of a gap area in your life for leadership. And you know it. Somebody's either told you or you've realized it in a weak moment. And I want to say to you that this isn't necessarily from me, but that God might have designed for you to hear what it is that you heard and what it is that was reinforced that someone else has said to you about your life. And I want to invite you into a next step, whatever that is. As you consider developing a system of accountability, I want to describe to you something that has changed my life in leadership. In 2003, I met with a friend of mine, a gentleman who introduced the idea of a personal board of directors. Stay with me on this. It seems complicated. Many of you have a board of directors in your church or at a university. You know what a board does. They are directing and protecting organizations, and they are responsible for assuring the CRA that you're staying within your sort of lane of ministry. But I mean a personal board of directors. I was given the challenge back in 2004 to develop a personal board of directors in these five key areas. I'll try to remember them. Physical, financial, personal development, relational, and spiritual. We were given the responsibility in this small group that I was in to develop a personal board of directors of experts from all those areas to speak into our lives. We would bring them together. We would invite them. A friend of mine works for Chick-fil-A down in Georgia. It's in Canada now. He is given $10,000 a year to pay his personal board of directors. Can you believe that? That's his job. I just sort of laughed and I thought, sorry, ministry will never have that, that we'll get to pay people to be our personal board of directors. But what I found is that we don't have to pay them. I'm finishing up, Steve. I see you there. Yep. I invited these five people together, all of them experts in the areas that I mentioned. And I brought them in and I said, I need you to watch what I do. I want to invite you in to this experience of helping me become a better, stronger person and leader and follower of God. And so to the person who is a financial guru, my buddy Jay, he's a CPA down in Richmond, Virginia. I said, Jay, I want you to hold me accountable in all my financial matters. And he said, okay, hand me all your passwords. And I did. I trusted him. And he has access still to my bank accounts. And he can see the activity that he can see my debt load. And man, does he give me a finger wag when he sees, you know, if I've done wrong there. I've invited people in. My buddy Chris, who's my spiritual advisor, he talks to my wife and my kids before we get back together. It's amazing. When they come together a day before I show up and they talk about me. And then I show up a day later and they rip me to shreds and they put me all back together again. And I love it because it's made me stronger. And here's what's happened as a result. Isn't this funny? All of them have been benefactors of the knowledge of the experts in the other areas for their own life. Isn't that amazing? That the mutuality of that experience has now multiplied in such a way that they're all looking for personal board of directors, different people. So I want to say to you, as you develop, I want to give this to you as a thought and idea. And if five's overwhelming, start with two. The area that you're strongest in and that you're weakest in. Maybe it's physical fitness and spirituality. But whatever it is, find two people to begin to, in a trusting relationship, people who love you and want the best for you to begin to speak back into your lives. Listen, friends, this morning, I hope your next step to avoid burnout in your life is to pursue passionately God. Secondly, know your role. Third, rest. And fourth, seek wise counsel always. Will you pause with me just for a moment? I'm going to invite the band back up. And I just want to lead us through a time of prayer before we finish. I'm sensing that God has spoken to one of you or more today. And that there's something that he's placed in your hand that requires a bit of curating or chiseling. And so I want you to hold on to that tightly, whatever it is, just for the next moment. And I want you to begin to work out some deals with God on that one thing. There may be more than one. But I just want to invite you into working out this one thing for today. And whatever it is, if you're failing yourself and others in not finding rest, if rest is what it is that you hold in your hand that you're missing, I wonder if you would just commit towards stepping further into that discipline this week. I wonder, too, if seeking wise counsel doesn't come easy to you because you tried it once and someone shut you down. I wonder if you would be willing to hold on to that and ask God to help you seek wise counsel. And I wonder if wise counsel and rest isn't what it is, but that you actually have forgotten who God is. If that might become a discipline that you engage in over the next 3 to 6 weeks. of learning who God is to you and celebrating with joyful thanksgiving what God is up to in your life. And if you've got a problem with wanting to be something more than what you've agreed to do around knowing your role, I want you just to give that away. You can drop that one. I want you just to say, Lord, help me to stay in my lane and do what it is that you've called me to do. Look this way for a moment. I don't know who's represented in this room, the number, but it could be in the thousands of students that you lead this week, this coming week. And their faith and their pursuit of God hangs in the balance. And on the other side is where you are as a leader. Are you fulfilled, joyful in your work? Creativity flows. Are you feeling depleted? And they're left to find their own way without a strong leader in their life. There's a workshop this afternoon that's designed to help deeper with these steps. Go to that. I'm thankful to serve with you. I believe God is up to something great in our midst. Revival has returned, actually, my friends. As we sing these songs and we commit ourselves to Jesus, there is an attractiveness to the pursuit of silence and solitude by Generation Z. You heard it from Carl last night. There is a desire for engagement face to face with you as leaders. So lead by example and look into people's eyes and know their hearts before you know what their social media pages look like. Engage. Let's pray. God, thanks for those things that you've designed for us to hear today. And we just pray, oh Lord, that you would go with us and motivate us. I'm not sure what each individual in this room has heard today, but it's something I feel. And so, Lord, I pray that we would feel compelled to be obedient to your Holy Spirit and act on what it is that you've prompted us to do today. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said together.